This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Fitbod, the best fitness app on the market. Its genius algorithm will generate personalized workouts based on your fitness goals, available gym equipment, duration, fatigue levels, and many more factors. It allows you to track your progress and upload data to other apps such as Apple Health and Strava. Fitbod also works without any gym equipment, as it will provide you with bodyweight workouts as well. Fitbod is giving you a free trial as well as 25% off its membership when you sign up at app.fitbod.me/bananiac. That's app.fitbod.me/BANANIAC. Get the app and get stronger faster with Fitbod. So it's been a minute since I published the last episode on this podcast, but I can't tell you how busy I've been doing my dietetic internship, as well as been very busy with work. So I do apologize for the slow uploads, but I do have a good one for you guys today. It's the truth on water fasting with Dr. Alan Goldhammer, who is the founder and the director of the True North Health Center. I just want to say I've been such a big fan of True North since I first got into all of this. The True North Health Center is probably the only place I would recommend people go to for supervised water fasting. I have heard so many scary stories of people going on water fasting, even when they are supervised, and just ruining their health, and even at worst, losing their lives. And so we're gonna get into the reasons why people water fast, what they can expect, and some of the health benefits that come from it. But understand that this is something that you really need to speak to your doctor about or the people over at True North Health. And I personally know people who have gone there and that have seen beneficial results from water fasting. So if you're dealing with something and you can't quite figure out what is going on and you've tried a whole food plant-based diet, you've cut out salt, sugar, oil out of your diet, and you still quite can't narrow it down, I would highly advise you reach out to the people at True North Health. Also, Dr. Goldhammer is the co-author of a book that you may have heard about, The Pleasure Trap. And he is the co-author with Dr. Doug Lyle, who I've had on this show before. I think I interviewed him back in 2014, so it has been a very long time since I've talked to him. But I really do love that book. And if you guys haven't checked it out, be sure to go to the description of this podcast episode, click on the link, and get the book ASAP, because it has helped open my mind to much more than just the health benefits of a whole food plant-based diet. It goes into some of the more primal reasons why we adapted and adopted a starch-based diet, pretty much a plant-based diet. So check out the book. Make sure you go to truenorthhealth.com to find out more about the services that Dr. Goldhammer and many of the other great doctors there are providing. And without further ado, here is Dr. Goldhammer himself. Fan of your work for a long time, and a big fan of the Pleasure Trap right here. I've had Dr. Lyle, who's the co-author of this book, years ago on the show. It was back in 2014, I believe. So it's about time that I have you on the show as well. So welcome.
Thank you.
So for those that might not know you, maybe some might have read your book, but others might be meeting you for the first time today. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what kind of work that it is that you do?
I'm the director of the True North Health Center. And for the last 36 years, we've been doing medically supervised water-only fasting in patients that have conditions like high blood pressure and diabetes and autoimmune diseases and lymphoma. We're a 501c3 nonprofit research-based organization. We do conduct clinical trials. We've been publishing materials in the peer-reviewed literature on the effect of fasting, and particularly a whole plant food SOS-free diet. So we're using this whole plant food diet free of salt, oil, and sugar in order to sustain health after we've kind of rebooted the system with fasting. Fasting's kind of like rebooting the hard drive on a corrupted computer. You know, it just kind of recalibrates everything, and then you put in good diet, sleep, and exercise, and the body does what it does best, and that's heal itself. And so the work that we do is we are a multidiscipline facility. We have medical doctors, chiropractors, osteopaths, psychologists. There's about 70 on staff right now at True North Health. We have a We run around 70 inpatients plus outpatient practices. We even have a new telemedicine practice, phone coaching, where our doctors are available remotely to people. So they can go to our website at healthpromoting.com, log on, and actually talk to a doctor that's not an idiot and get good advice, hopefully. And that is, you know, expectation of getting well. These are doctors that are using whole plant food, nutrition, and lifestyle medicine rather than pill potions and powders is kind of their approach to helping patients. And, you know, so it's really gratifying work because unlike traditional medical care where people never get well, I mean, they tell you that. If you go to a medical doctor with high blood pressure, they'll tell you, oh, well, do what we tell you and you'll never get well. You'll be sick forever. You'll be on drugs the rest of your life because there's no expectation of getting well. Getting well isn't even part of the paradigm. Whereas what we're arguing is if you're willing to do really radical things like eat good and exercise and go to bed on time, maybe consider fasting, you can not only eliminate the need for medications, but actually resolve the hypertension and put that behind you. You can lose weight. You can normalize blood sugar levels. You can get rid of eczema, asthma, and psoriasis. You can overcome lymphoma. But you have to be willing to do the things that actually result in healthful living. You have to do that stuff. For most people, they don't want to do that. You know, they want to keep taking their drugs and just engaging in their short-term self-indulgent behaviors. But for the highly motivated patients that we work with, they're willing to pay the price of healthful living in order to be able to get and stay healthy.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. That's really, it's an empowering thing for sure. And I believe you are the founder of True North. Am I correct in saying that?
That's correct.
What decided you to kind of branch out from like the mainstream medical system, if I may call it that, and go down this route? I mean, you're talking about medically supervised water fasting. Not a whole lot of places do that type of work. So what made you want to do that?
Well, originally I was mostly by necessity. I was trying to figure out how to beat Dr. Lyle, our psychologist and the co-author of the book in basketball. Because, you know, this is from fourth grade on, we would play and he'd always beat me badly. Uh-huh. I mean, I practiced and I tried, but, you know, he just was too good. And I thought maybe I could get an edge. So I started reading books on health thinking if I got healthier, maybe I could, you know, beat him. And I read Shelton's stuff and he talked about diet and health from healthful living and fasting. And I adopted diligently a whole plant food diet. The problem is it didn't help me because he adopted a whole plant food diet too at the same time. And here I am 62 years old, still playing basketball with him, and he still keeps kicking my butt. I mean, it's just terrible. My only hope is I'm hoping he'll age out slightly quicker. So maybe when we get in our 70s or 80s, I'll eventually be able to beat him. Anyway, it got me interested. I was also inspired by my uncle, who was a medical doctor, who said that I should not go into alternative medicine, that those doctors were the worst thing on the planet, that better I should be a communist spy than get inspired by, you know, those kinds of doctors. And that nobody in our family should go to see somebody like that, let alone become somebody like that. He thought that was the worst possible thing in the world. And I remember, because on my 16th birthday, he was screaming and yelling about it. My dad, after they sent him home, took me aside and he said, son, I don't know anything about this alternative medicine idea of yours, but anything that makes him that angry and mad, it can't be bad. So you stick to your guns. And I did, and ultimately went to school, went to chiropractic college in Oregon and osteopathic college in Australia, and ultimately came back and started doing this fasting supervision. The guy I trained with in the osteopathic college was using fasting to get people well, and I kept seeing people get well. It was mind-boggling because, you know, in school you're taught nobody gets well. You know, you're just managing their aches and pains. And so we came back. My wife, Dr. Morano, and I started True North Health in 1984. And the last 36 years, we've had 20,000 people come through. And I have to say, I'm still amazed. It keeps working, you know, it's like there's a connection. So what we've learned, though, is we try to focus on the people that are going to have the most dramatic results. So we take the conditions, what we call low-hanging fruit, people that, you know, are highly motivated, really willing to do what it takes to get well and stay well. What's frustrating is getting somebody well, but then they go back to smoking, drinking, and then get their problems back. So now we're trying to focus on people that are really willing to do what it takes to get and stay well so that we can get long-term outcome data and make our research look good.
Right, right. I got to say, I was not expecting that answer, especially in the beginning, but I'm glad I asked that question. I can relate, though, to what you're saying. I personally went through dietetic school, and I'm on my way to becoming a dietitian, but I got to tell you, it was so frustrating to learn about all these standard practices and the so-called health benefits of meat and dairy. And then, you know, you go out to the real world, and once you kind of know what's going on, you can see a little bit more clear, and, you know, you find out that that is not the way. So I wanted to ask you, at True North Health, what type of patients do you guys normally work with?
Well, we have two kinds of patients. We have people that are motivated by pain, debility, and fear of death. So they've got high blood pressure, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, cancer. And these patients are willing to do what it takes to get well just because they kind of have no choice. We also get the people that I think get the most benefit are healthy people that want to stay that way. They're doing it preventatively. They'll come in and fast for a week or two. They're fine-tuning their diet. They're utilizing our phone coaching services where people can call in and work with doctors remotely. And so those are the people that I think are sometimes get the most benefit because they're preventing the problem before they get it rather than waiting until they're in deep trouble. Or people, maybe they've got some early onset disease, but now they're prepared to get off their drugs and make the changes that need to be made. And we've got doctors who can help them do that. One of the problems with conventional doctors is they're not really used to getting people off drugs because nobody's ever getting well. You know, once they put them on drugs, they just assume they're going to be staying on drugs. You know, it's not this drug, a different drug. And when they get side effects from one, they give them something to undo the side effects. Whereas our guys are willing to work with people on their diet, their lifestyle. We do pretty radical things, like we get them to sleep enough, get them to exercise, and get them to eat a whole plant food SOS-free diet. And when you do that, the results are really gratifying, and people do, you know, well. And once people get well, then there's no, you know, then they don't have any problem. They know, they understand it, they've experienced it, they see it.
Right. And you were mentioning that fasting is, you know, one of the biggest therapies or the type of work that you guys do over at True North.
Yeah, about 80% of the people referred to us are referred for medically supervised fasting, but some people are not good candidates for fasting. Or maybe they've got musculoskeletal issues. They're coming to see the chiropractors or osteopaths, or they're seeing the acupuncturist, or, you know, there's other modalities that we use to try to help people recover their injuries. It's not always about fasting, but always we apply a whole plant food SOS-free diet.
Yeah, right. Yep. And that's the same diet that I promote here on the channel as well, a whole food plant-based diet without sugar, salt, fat, or oils, I should
I just clarify. Tell people go yeah. inside themselves and ask themselves, do they really, 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 really want whatever it is? And if the answer is truly yes, then they know. They can't have it. They get yeah. nothing.
If it's too good to be true, it probably
well,
is.
It's a pleasure trap, isn't it? You know, it doesn't mean you don't like to eat. You like your yeah. food. You enjoy eating.
Right.
It's just that you don't get that drug-like effect from the chocolate cheesecake, you know, when you're having a delicious piece of fruit. And so, you know, it's a real problem, though, because people's instincts are being misguided, just like they are with drug addiction.
Right. Yeah, they're getting a big hit out of those highly calorically dense foods or maybe the high salty foods, and it only instinctually makes sense that you gravitate towards those foods unless you kind of do some internal work, you realize what's going on and kind of shift focus.
You know, in a natural setting, there's no highly processed fractionated foods. There's whole plant foods and maybe some animal foods, but there are no sugars and oils and all these things in a natural setting. So, you know, our system was designed to eat as much as it could whenever it could. And if you were lucky, you got enough to eat and survive to reproduce. But now we live in an environment of abundance, not an environment of deprivation. And as a consequence, you can get too much, and particularly if you're eating these fractionated, highly processed foods, whether they be plant-based foods or animal-based foods. These highly fractionated, highly processed foods create the obesity that lead to the metabolic syndrome, which is why people are dying of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, and even COVID-19. You know, metabolic syndrome is a major risk factor for dying from infectious disease, including with COVID. So, you know, my opinion is we should be focusing on getting healthy so we're more resistant, not just to heart attacks and cancer, but also to infectious disease.
Right. Yep. So I want to ask you then, how do you break out of that pleasure trap? You know, eating all those processed and highly calorically dense foods. How do you stop that?
Well, the first step is to get educated. You really got to understand how things work. Okay, not the fantasy la-la talk that's so common out there from people pushing their pills and powders and products, but actually how it works. And I think one of the best tools is our book, The Pleasure Trap, Mastering the Hidden Force That Undermines Health and Happiness. And for people that don't like to read, they can listen to it now. There's an audio version out there. It's great. So I would get educated. Then adopt a whole plant food diet, get plenty of sleep and exercise. If you can do it on your own, you're probably done. If you can't, then come to a place like True North Health Center, get locked up and get a little bit of support and do it under control. Or as an interim fact, work with a doctor that's not an idiot that will help encourage you to make changes and help you monitor the process and give you feedback. And, you know, that's why we do what we do. We've written books and we provide a website, truenorthhealth.com. We provide free consultations with people if they want to call and talk to me about whether any of this is relevant to them. All they got to do is go to our website, fill out the registration forms. I'll review their medical history and talk to them without cost. And if they need to work with a doctor in detail, they can use our telemedicine system, our health coaching system off our website. They can come to the center if they need to get medically supervised. And they can implement these changes. All the materials are freely available on the website. Everything that we know, everything we're publishing is it's there. It's for their perusal. And if they implement the changes, it works. It's hard to do it, but it works, and it works consistently. And now what we're trying to do is publish in the peer-reviewed medical literature so that our colleagues in the medical professional realize that there are options besides the pills, potions, and powders that they can recommend to their patients. And I'm happy to say that's starting to have an impact. You know, we're seeing now we have a residency training site where physicians can come and train and they can learn how to use these kinds of things. We're getting published in major impact journals, which is really rewarding. And we're getting, you know, a significant percentage of our patients come on medical referral from doctors that have heard and read our stuff. And now they're trying to encourage people to maybe look at alternative. I'll give you an example. I have a patient here right now who has hypertension. It's been persistent and it's malignant, and was told that she qualified for a research study where they would damage or destroy some of the nerves in her kidneys as a treatment to try to regulate the high blood pressure. And her doctor was so, her family doctor was so aghast at that recommendation, you know, permanently damaging her kidneys, that he did some research, came across our research, referred her to us. Fortunately, she's responded really well, you know, just super dramatically. And so we'll be able to send her back and rub her success in the face of the researchers that were trying to talk her into just, you know, damaging her kidneys in order to try to regulate her blood pressure. But, you know, sometimes you think about what they're willing to do, anything except, well, you know, eat well.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like eating well is so radical, let alone fasting. And, you know, so they'll cut things out, give toxic drugs, do all kinds of dangerous and invasive procedures with limited efficacy. But, you know, just doing the diet and lifestyle stuff seems overwhelming. Now, in fairness, you have to have a highly motivated patient willing to do that. Most people I know, most people you know, probably don't want to have to make diet and lifestyle changes. But, you know, there are people out there that are willing to do it. Those are the people we work with. Highly motivated, self-selected people that are willing to do what it takes to get, and more importantly, stay healthy.
But it's it shouldn't be up to the doctor, though. Doctors should still offer that as an option, where in most cases, that's not an option. It's straight to the drugs.
But they have no idea in most cases. It's not like they're hiding it. I give you an example. I was hired to give a continuing ed seminar last year, just before the pandemic, in a Texas medical school. And they were doing a seminar on diabetes treatment. So these are, you know, a couple hundred doctors there, mostly overweight, eating pulled pork sandwiches, chocolate cake, and at the luncheon, and hearing from drug companies about the latest and greatest drugs. And I did my presentation on the reversal of diabetes with diet and fasting. And one of the gentlemen came up to me afterwards. He said, "Well, this is really fascinating, son. You know, I've been in practice 25 years. I've never had a diabetic get well before. 25 years of practice specializing in a condition nobody gets well. Here we're talking about people routinely getting well." Blew his mind. He said, "You know, maybe I should do some of this plant-based diet myself."
Yeah, and one of the craziest things for me is, like, a young professional, like, out there in the field, is when I speak out about this stuff, it's like, what the heck do you know? You know, you barely have as much, you know, you don't even have a quarter of experience as much as, like, the person that's been here forever. And here I'm talking about all these simple things having larger impacts than these standard practices. I come off as crazy. You know what I mean? That's the most painful part about having this position.
Do you know what radical, the word radical comes from radicus, which means root or cause. So you really are radical because you're trying to deal with the root or the cause. Let's face it, today we spend billions of dollars treating the leading causes of death, heart disease, cancer, and stroke. But nobody's even talking about the actual causes of death, the reason people get heart disease, cancer, and stroke. It's diet, tobacco, and alcohol. Yeah. So instead of spending all of our billions treating the consequences of it, maybe we should start refocusing on the actual causes of disease, which is actually what you went to school to learn, is how to prevent people from putting the wrong things in their mouth, which is ultimately going to lead to the leading cause of death and disability. And so theoretically, that is should be the frontline intervention. The problem is you're not getting to people frontline. You're getting to them after they already have cancer, diabetes, and heart disease, trying to figure out what can you do to undo the mess. The real answer is preventive. But you can't do that when they're starting to train these kids as little children on how to guzzle up the dairy products, how to eat the processed food, where they're serving this crap to them in the schools as part of their indoctrination program, where the dairy industry is one of the major providers of educational materials, supposedly, to students. So, you know, right now you have vested interests that are trying to convince people to follow the status quo and antagonistically trying to interfere with your ability to educate people effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. It's, you know, it's, and it's hard for that professor too in medical school or dietetic school to kind of break away from what they've learned and, you know, what they're so proud of, you know, where they've gotten themselves to. They've sort of adapted and, you know, made a mark for themselves at that point. And it's hard for people to change once they learn, like you mentioned, like when you grow up, you go to school, you get those little cartons of milk as part of your tray, you're thinking, you know, you're doing yourself good, you know, you're getting your calcium in. It's hard to break away from that. You know what I mean? Like, you have to really dive into this.
There's also a lot of disinformation out there. So it gets hard to filter out, you know, fact from fantasy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a big challenge for people. So, you know, what we try to do is, and it's why that we've gotten involved in trying to publish this outcome data in peer-reviewed journals so that it has a higher degree of credibility so people can see that we're serious about trying to document it effectively. And, you know, there is no, you know, we don't do anything.
Yeah.
It's diet, sleep, exercise, and fasting. You know, there is no pill, potion, or powder that's being promulgated to offer some magic, you know, cure.
Right.
The problem is there's no pill, potion, or powder to offer magic cure. So, you know, there's nothing to sell. And there's, you know, it's not really that attractive.
Two-edged sword.
Business model. There's nobody going to sponsor it. There's nobody going to fund that research, you know. So it's a bit of a challenge in that regard.
Yeah. No, I hear you for sure. But yeah, going back to the pleasure trap, tell me, so like me being a vegan, right, since 2012, been doing this for years, and I've been doing it healthfully too. I eat, you know, whole foods for the most part. But, you know, every now and then I get a craving for salt, and it's not like I'm 100% salt free. I'm willing to admit that. But how do people like myself overcome those food cravings?
If you're having food cravings, one thing you might want to consider is, first of all, do intermittent fasting. Limit your feeding window to 8 hours a day. Second of all, stop eating the sugar, oil, and salt, because after about a month, you'll neuroadapt. You won't crave the salt as much. If you still have cravings, then do a water fast where you do an extended water fast and then try exactly the same diet. You may find it'll break the cycle. Be educated about the negative effect, for example, that salt has on passive overeating, which, you know, for you may not be an issue because you're able to maintain optimum weight, but your patients that are having obesity issues aren't going to be able to maintain weight loss unless they're also controlling salt in many cases. Salt also affects the microbiome. So if you're concerned about maintaining optimum immunity and disease protection long term, you don't want to be putting a bunch of salt into a bacterially rich environment where salt acts as a powerful preservative, particularly in a concentrated format like that. You also want to look at the fact that salt tends to cause fluid retention to protect the body from the negative consequences in high concentration. So it makes joint worse. It can affect your athletic performance. It can impact you in other ways. And the same thing with sugar and the same thing with oil. So we crave all those things because we're little addicts and we're, you know, we've been brought up with them and we like the effect and, you know, and that's the problem. And as far as vulnerability, some people are more vulnerable than others. It would be easier for you if you got exquisite pain every time you ate some salty or greasy food, because the pain would drive you away. But no, you're a healthy young guy. You can do just about whatever you wanted to do and still probably feel pretty good for now. So you have to do it intellectually, and it's difficult.
Yeah.
So what I would say is just pay really close attention to how you feel. And, you know, my colleague, Dr. Lyle, would argue that trying to be perfect, sometimes you can get short-circuited, that the ego trap itself can sometimes be an important consideration, even more than the pleasure trap. Mm. So you have to know yourself. I argue that a lot of times it's easier to try to just stop it altogether and stop teasing yourself with these things than it is to kind of have to regulate it.
Yeah.
But for some people, they feel deprived, whatever. Maybe the occasional indulgence may work for their situation. I don't care what they do, as long as they get good numbers, they maintain optimum health, and don't screw up my long-term outcome data.
Okay. I hear you. So, I can see both sides, yours and Dr. Lal's too, but, right. You know, I mean, like alcohol, right? It's best to completely don't touch it if you have a problem with it, right?
We can agree. If you have a problem with it, the only answer is to not use it.
Exactly.
It doesn't work for alcoholics to try to regulate porn.
Yeah.
If you're an obese person, that means if you could have controlled it, you would have controlled it. Which means you're not the one to be eating the sugar, oil, and salt because you don't control your intake. If you're a thin, healthy person and you can occasionally indulge in something and not appear to pay the price, just don't forget there's a long-term as well as a short-term consequence. Now, I'm doing an experiment right now. It's over 40 years in duration, and it's with Dr. Lyle. So I try to be 100% SOS-free vegan as I have been since I was 16 because I committed to doing it for 50 years. He's also a vegan and very diligent about his diet, but every once in a while he'll do something like he'll have a piece of vegan carrot cake or he'll eat, you know, he'll do something, right? Because he's like a normal human being. And so he'll occasionally indulge in something. And so far it doesn't appear to have paid any price, but we're going to watch and see at our 50-year follow-up here, which is coming up, whether or not those occasional indulgences yield premature aging responses. And I'm hoping so, because then I'll be able to finally beat him in basketball. Yeah. But so far, I have to admit, I can't tell the difference between 100% perfection and just doing a really, really good job. So, and I don't know that we're going to see any evidence that the person that does it 100% necessarily does any better than the person that does it, you know, to 95% compliance and occasionally has indulgences. For me, my personality, it's easier for me to just do it right than to have to deal with the temptations. So I have no problems as long as I'm doing everything right. So I just keep doing everything right. For somebody else, if they feel deprived and they think that's going to help them, far be it from me to argue with Dr. Lyle.
Right. Yeah.
95% of the time I've argued with him, it turns out I'm wrong. So, you know.
Yeah, I love you guys' rivalry, by the way. It's honestly, it's the best. But okay. So both of you, you know, as a collective will say, you either ease your way out of it and limit it, or cold turkey. You cut it out, you keep it away from you, it's no good for you.
Yeah, he would say it's good to do these things gradually and be gentle on yourself. And I would say you can be as flexible as you need to be as long as you get it done, you know, immediately.
Yeah, got it. Okay, all right, so let's talk about water fasting then. So you guys actually... don't do juice fasting, if I'm correct.
Do juice fasting for patients where water fasting isn't appropriate.
Okay. So my question is, why water fast versus juice fast or vice versa?
So juice fasting is safe. It's gentle. You don't have to be completely off medications. It has a broad application, very few complications. Water fasting, intense, miserable, but also more efficient. So for some conditions, for example, you can put people on juices for weeks or months and not see a resolution of their tumor or whatever, whereas water fasting, we can get a better clinical outcome. So for people that juice fasting and diet works, you don't necessarily have to worry about water fasting as a routine. So everybody's water fasting for 16 hours a day under our model and feeding in an 8-hour window. Or if you have to have a really high caloric load because you're a competitive athlete, maybe you have to have a 12-hour feeding window. You know, you may not be able to get enough food in 8 hours. In order to sustain minimum weight. But the point is, everybody's fasting every day. And then we recommend healthy people maybe once a year or so, they do a little bit longer fast, 5 days, 7 days, just to give the body a chance to induce these detoxifying mechanisms and induce autophagy and enhance some of these mechanisms. For longer fasting, that's usually because people, the diet and the lifestyle hasn't allowed them to overcome their problems. They have obesity. They have high blood pressure. They have diabetes. They got joint pain. They got a non-healing injury. They've got some cancer issues. So that's where we do the longer-term fasting. The longer-term fasting needs to be done medically supervised. It's done after a history exam lab. We monitor patients twice a day during the fasting process. They're in a controlled environment. That's what you have to do to make it safe.
Mm-hmm.
Juice fasting, people can do a juice fast on their own. Again, if they're on medications, they need to talk to the prescribers and all that caveat. But healthy people could go on juices as long as they're resting, do that for a few days, get a cleansing effect, clear their palate. The reason why it works for people is because they like juices because they're sweet because you've processed the food down.
Yeah.
And so they're willing to do that for a few days. Where if you just ask them to eat the same food, whole food, you might get the same effect clinically, but they don't like it. They don't like the salad without the dressings and the sauces and all that stuff in the beginning. So the juice fasting gives them a chance to clear their palate without necessarily the complications of water fasting. So I have no problem with juice fasting. Patients come to our center. Sometimes that's the most intense version, what's appropriate. Water fasting would be inappropriate. We don't do it. About 20% of our patients just come to eat. We got a fabulous chef, great food. They eat healthy food. They exercise. They go to classes. They do the yoga. They get some acupuncture or some chiropractic, whatever. They use it because, you know, it costs less to stay with us than it does a hotel. They're in town. They get all their meals. They did it to save money.
Right.
What can I say? And that's fine. But mostly what we're known for is a safe place to do long-term water-only fasting, anywhere from 5 to 40 days. And in that period of time, you know, we publish the data. You can go to our website at healthcoroni.com and look at the studies. We have the largest effect that's ever been shown in treating high blood pressure in human beings. 174 patients, 174 people lowering pressure enough to eliminate medication. Reversal of follicular lymphoma with 3-year follow-up in the British Medical Journal. A safety study showing that fasting can be done safe and effectively, published in peer-reviewed journals. We've got on polypharmacy, reversal of Fuchs dystrophy, cases on appendicitis even, subacute appendicitis treated with fasting rather than surgery. And these have all been published in peer-reviewed journals, but the articles are all there ready for people to take a look at, and they can decide for themselves whether this fasting intervention makes sense to them.
So let me ask you this. From what I'm hearing you say is certain people intermittent fast and then others will go on a 100% just water fast, no calories long term for severe issues that they can't solve one way or the other. Okay.
And some people that are healthy will do water only fasting, but it's usually a briefer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
We're fasting those people a week or two, not 40 days.
What happens when they stop fasting? Let's say somebody like who has something really severe that they're dealing with. Do those symptoms or that disease ends up coming back, or what do you end up finding after
give me an example. If we talk about high blood pressure, they come in at 220 over 120 capped out on 5 medications. We fast them for 40 days. The blood pressure is 110 over 70 on no medication. If they maintain the diet, they maintain the pressure.
That's the key. Yeah.
If they go back to greasy, fatty, salty, processed crap, they'll eventually get their weight back. They'll get their blood pressure back. You're not curing anything. You're just managing it. And now they're able to do it with a diet without the drugs. Same thing with type 2 diabetes. They come in with a hemoglobin A1C of 10, and we go to the diet, we do the fast, we get them off their insulin, we get them off the metformin. Now their blood sugars are normal, but they have to do the diet and exercise, or it'll creep back up.
Right.
With a lymphoma, this patient in the British Medical Journal lost a bunch of weight, did the fast, overcame her lymphoma. At 3 years, she's still normal. How did she maintain her weight? Well, she stuck to a whole plant food SOS-free diet. Why? Because I told her that if she had to stick to the diet, it could be fatal because I would track her down and kill her. And she believed me, and so she stuck to the diet, and she's continued to do well. And once you get people through a couple of years, they've adapted to it, and it's not quite as difficult usually to maintain compliance. It gets easier, you know, as you get used to doing it.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I've never gone that long. I've done maybe a full day's worth of water fasting.
Well, I think you should come in and go through a period of fasting with us and experience that, because it'll help you as a nutritionist be sensitive to what misery you're going to put people through when you send them for medically supervised fasting. What's interesting is if you want your fast not to be miserable, there's a thing you can do that works, and that's preparation. People that prepare for the fast properly by eating fruits, salads, and steamed vegetables only, and no coffee, alcohol, or animal foods, they have very little problems with fasting. Uh-huh. Like the staff, myself, I fast every year. I hate fasting because you can't play basketball, you got to rest, it's annoying.
Yeah.
But I don't have any symptoms. Fasting itself is perfectly pleasant because we're not withdrawing it from caffeine and chocolate and animal foods and all the rest of it. The symptoms people get often aren't so much the fasting. It's the withdrawal effect and the getting out of the pleasure trap. So the healthier you are going in, the easier fasting tends to be. And then every time you fast, it's cumulative. It gets easier and easier.
I hear what you're saying then. So you're recommending a fruit and vegetable diet just because it's simple. You're already going to withdraw on those foods. And then by the time, you're all good to go.
Yeah. You know, what's really been annoying, I've been doing this screening for blood pressure. We've been enrolling patients in the study we're doing with the Mayo Clinic. And so because the center runs about 2 months booked out, so it takes a couple of months for people to get a bed, even once they've decided to come in. Well, they've been working through our telemedicine with our doctors remotely. And what's been happening over and over again is by the time they're ready to come in, they're already better because they've been doing the diet, the blood, screwing up my enrollments because they come in, their blood pressure's already normal. Right. They didn't even fast. It's because they've been following the whole plant food diet. Now, every once in a while, somebody, even though they've done the diet, it's still too hot. And so for those individuals, fasting becomes really the only viable option. But for many people with mild levels of hypertension, the only problem we run into is you have to withdraw their medications or they start passing out from having hypertensive crisis because the stupid drugs, you know, cause them to be dizzy and stuff when they don't need them anymore. And so, you know, they've been working with our doctors remotely. Many of them are actually able to achieve health without ever even doing the fasting. But that doesn't mean fasting doesn't have potential utility. It's just that it's diet, it's sleep, it's exercise. That's the big kahunas. That's the big factors. Fasting is a facilitator. Now, some people, it's too hard for them to make those changes, or it gets too messy with the medication withdrawal. So they come in and we work that out for them in a controlled setting. You know, if you're, you know, seriously ill, even getting well can be complicated. But for healthy people that have early stage disease, sometimes, like I say, they can solve it without every, or maybe they'll do intermittent fasting at home where they're doing 16 hours a day, and maybe they'll do reduced calories a couple of days a week. Those kinds of programs you can safely do remotely are enough to get the job done.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, tell me how a typical day for you looks like diet-wise and all that.
Sure. So I'm very fortunate. I work at the Truman Health Center. So we have fabulous chefs, a great food trip. We have a farm. We have, you know, it's all organic fruits and vegetables. So we come in, there's this beautiful salad bar. So we usually have some greens and fresh fruit. We like to include lettuce, celery, cucumbers and stuff with the fruit to slow down the rate that sugars absorb, provide extra fiber and mineral content. You maybe have something like a grain like oatmeal or maybe a corn and perhaps some flaxseed or something like that. So that's usually breakfast. And then lunch, I should say, first thing I do is I get up and I go to the gym to play basketball, except the COVID has closed the gym, so I have to play outside. It's Anyway, then go to work, do the breakfast, see patients. And then lunchtime, huge salad bar, fabulous salad bar, steamed vegetables, maybe a soup or some type of grain. So huge salad, big steamed vegetables, some type of potatoes, rice, or beans dish, usually from one of our cookbooks like the Health Promoting Cookbook or Bravo Express. And then dinner, if maybe you had starchy vegetables at lunch, maybe you have beans at night, whatever. There's a variety of foods, and we got hundreds of different things that the chefs make, and it's fabulous. And that's it. So I have three meals all within an eight-hour window. I eat as much as I can get in, and that's going to provide me the vitamins, minerals, protein, fiber. The only supplementation we do on vegan diets is some B12, 1,000 micrograms of methylcobalamin a day. And so it would be, and then, you know, get home, finish work, do usually some stretching or strengthening or balance or something like that. Because I'm, you know, 62 years old, so now you have to start working on all these balance things so you don't end up, you know, falling over and killing yourself or something. And then try to get to sleep and to get a good night's sleep, just wake up and start the process over again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sure that 8 hour of eating and then the rest, just kind of giving your body, you know, to rest and recuperate, I'm sure that does a lot of good too. And over a long period of time, I'm sure that that's almost like water fasting, you know, similar.
Very beneficial. And once a year, I'll take some time off and I'll do a longer fast, you know, which I do find very annoying, but I do think it's really beneficial.
Yeah. How often would you say throughout the year you do like actual long, like?
I do once a year. I take time off to do a longer fast, or long that's needed. But I just can't justify taking the time off right now more than once a year. And I don't know that it's necessary for me because I've been very fortunate. I've been doing this whole plant food SOS free diet since I was 16 years old. And I'm 62, so that's, I've got, 46 years of doing that. I never had a cigarette. I've never had a cup of coffee. I never had a drink. I never used a drug. So I've never had to undo the consequences of decades of compromised living. So I don't know that I would need the kind of intense duration of fasting that makes some of my patients go through.
Oh, this is so interesting. Did your parents raise you as like a vegan or like on a healthy
lifestyle? No, actually, I decided at 16, I remember before my 16th birthday to do it because I had read that Shelton book and I decided, you know, I was trying to beat Doug at basketball. So it was a self-driven. Now, my parents, fortunately, had developed some health problems and they did convert over and they did the fasting and they did very, very well. So that was great. And I was very gratified to see them, you know, come around and adopt these principles. And so did my sister-in-law early on, and eventually even my brother by force has made the change. Now he's doing really well too. So all of the intimate people in my family, fortunately, have adopted plant food diets as their routine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's nice to have, you know, not have antagonism in the home center. My wife, Dr. Moran, and I met at school. So we've been doing this together, this is my 38th anniversary. You know, she keeps renewing my contract every year, my marriage contract, every year for 38 years. I'm going to ask her for a 2-year extension this year. By now I deserve a 2-year extension on the contract.
Oh, and yeah.
Up till now, she's only been willing to do it 1 year at a time. So
it's understandable, I guess. No, that is, that is really cool. That is fantastic because it's really gratifying to, you know, to inspire the ones closest to you. You know, like that always feels really good when you can change the people around you, change their lives rather. But that support group, though, too, I'm sure has helped you personally succeed with this, whether it was, like you said, your wife, your friends, your family, probably kept you going yourself.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. With my personality, I don't know how vulnerable I would be to social isolation and stuff. Probably not as much as a normal person. You know, I'm a little bit odd in that regard. I'm not particularly vulnerable to social. I don't really care what people think that much. And so I think a normal human being, that would be an important issue. For me, I don't know whether they did or they didn't do it. I don't know if it's going to really have any influence on my particular behavior. Dr. Lau says I'm more of a reptile. Than a human. So that may be part of the explanation.
No, I can relate. I was the first one out of like my group of friends and family. I was like, boom, vegan, you know, like the weirdo, like the one standing out. And I didn't think anything of it. Internally, I knew it was good for me. And then I started to inspire other people around me. So I can completely relate to what you were saying.
You know, I remember my son, actually, who's also, you know, long-term vegan, SOS free, all that. He got kicked out of school when he was about 6 years old because we had him like in the Waldorf school after trying to homeschool him for a while. And he would go to school and the other kids would try to make fun of his food. And, you know, he was a pretty tough kid. And he said, you know, if you weren't so ignorant, you'd eat like I eat. And he says, besides that, you see that bologna sandwich you got there? That's proof. Your mother doesn't love you. And, you know, the kids are, and he said, you're going to die a slow and painful death, and showing them stroke, you know, movements and stuff. And the kids would go home crying to their parents that, you know, they were going to die and that they don't love them. And the parents called the principal, and the principal called me and said, you know, your kid's intimidating the other kids and he's got to stop it. Tell them they're going to die from eating bologna sandwiches. And of course I'm saying, well, you know, they are going to die from eating bologna sandwiches. What the hell are you teaching those kids? And they kicked him out. So back to homeschooling. So what can you say?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's like a script off of like a comedy show or something. Wow. That is funny. But has it been tough to, well, not tough, but how has it been, you know, raising a child in, you know, the social environment that he's had to deal with?
Well, you know, he was raised at our inpatient facility, so he didn't even know what other stuff looked like for the first 5 or 6 years because we didn't give him TV access. And so, like, you know, the first time I remember they were doing like some speech testing or something. They showed him pictures of like birthday cakes. He had no idea what it was. You know, he thought it was bread or something. He didn't know. They showed him an ice cream cone. He said, I don't know what that is. He had never seen ice cream. He didn't have any recognition of it. Yeah. And so, you know, it was an interesting little experiment. I told him when he was a kid that if he was a really good boy, he would get a special treat, and they were called Brussels sprouts. And so to this day, he's 34 years old. That's his favorite food is Brussels sprouts.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, and they would bring food out to the patients, and he would see Brussels sprouts. He said, oh, you must have been really good. My dad's giving you some Brussels sprouts, you know.
It's
a little weird. You know, he's a strange kid because he's raised in a very untypical, you know, environment. And plus he has my genes. So, you know, you can imagine what that looks like.
Oh, sure, sure. No, but that's great. I mean, he'll never have to deal with, like, you know, any of the health consequences that many of us had to deal with at some point. You know what I mean? Hopefully not. I mean, you know.
As long as nobody, like, shoots him or something, I think we'll be okay, huh?
Yeah, they're exactly right, right. Okay. Yeah, I got it. And we're getting to the end here, but I wanted to ask you, so let's see, we've talked about a lot of stuff, which a lot of people are probably hearing for the first time. And like I mentioned, when I talk about this stuff, people think I'm crazy. So tell me about any resources that are good to, like, kind of point people to, whether they're health professionals looking for more information or people who actually want to go on water fasting.
If you have health professionals that want to do something worthwhile with their life and go to heaven instead of hell, they can come and participate in our residency program. No cost. We provide room, board, and training. And they can come and learn how to do this type of work. They get to see sick people get well. They can learn how to use fasting effectively. You know, part of our mission as a nonprofit organization is to train health professionals to do this kind of work. And we have doctors now that are opening up facilities, doing fasting supervision around the country, so we can also refer people to the closest facility to them with doctors that we know and that we've trained. So for health professionals, and we're also interested particularly in research-oriented people that want to do human subjects research, this is a really unique opportunity to be able to do human subjects research without having to jump through a lot of the hoops that make it difficult to do the kind of work you and I both know is important. We have our own IRB with Federalwide Assurance that we sponsor that is made up of professionals that are familiar with fasting and nutritional medicine, so we can get studies approved when they're done appropriately. And we have a whole team. We have Dr. Myers, our PhD postdoc from Columbia, who's our director of research. We have an MD and another PhD that help our full-time staff that run our research department. So it's a really good opportunity. We have a lab with extraction. We can freeze at 86 below and strip stuff off everywhere and do all that kind of stuff. So health professionals, give me a call. And go to our website, fasting.org. We've got 500 some articles from the world's literature on fasting that have been indexed and is about to launch a new site here in the coming week or so. For people that don't want to come to True North Health Center but want to learn about this, go to our website, truenorthhealth.com, and look at the videos, the lectures, the articles, all freely available. Use our telemedicine doctors if you want a doctor to get into the details with you. Again, just fill out the registration forms. You can call me with no cost. I'm happy to provide an initial phone screening consultation to direct you to the right kind of doctor or the right location or to let you know whether this might be relevant to you. So no cost, just call in, fill out your forms, give me a call. I'll be happy to talk to you. And if we need to refer you to a doctor that can provide you more in-depth support, we've got a whole group of people that we've vetted that are available to do that quite affordably. And read our book, The Pleasure Trap. It'll bend your mind. You know, you got it. There it is. Really disturbing book, but I think a really important one.
Yeah, no, definitely one of my favorites. I think this book I've read a lot of nutrition books. This one right here kind of opened my mind the most, I would say, because it's more than about diet. It goes into the ancestral stuff. And I'm sure that's part of a big reason why you guys include water fast. So I'll have a link to your website. I'll have a link to the book down below. So people can go and check that out. But yeah, I got to tell you, I've heard, I know people in my personal life who have gone to True North and have seen benefits. So I'm not just saying that. I am truly a big fan. And it's just up to me now to get myself over there.
I'm ready to lock you up and put you through a fast. I think you can experience it yourself. And the proof is in the pudding there. So
I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely.
Excellent.
So thank you so much for coming on. And it's been awesome talking with you.